Red leather, yellow leather. Red. Hello. Welcome to People's Guide to the Cthulhu Myth. Welcome to People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos, hosted, edited, and whatevered by D.B. Spitzer. This is a special tribute episode, which gives me an extra week to prepare a one about Ramsay Campbell and the Sean and Shanana and, I don't know, something special from Swedish writer and publisher Michael Fahn. Next time on People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos, this episode's going to be about George Andrew Romero. All right. Gonna talk about the godfather, quote unquote, of zombies, which I think in a previous episode we talked about how they're not necessarily zombies, but actually ghouls. Taxologically speaking, taxonomically speaking, I don't know which one to say. I'm not that kind of smart. I'm not any kind of smart. They're ghouls. They're not zombies. They're ghouls. Zombies are totally different. He's the godfather of ghouls in cinema. Come on. Get it straight, people. People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos is brought to you by BunnySlippers.com and FoundItemClothing.com. And a special shout-out to Sleazy Viking Press. Please go to Sleazy Viking Press. Look for them online. And I guess pre-order Feverish Chicks 3. It's a Swedish occult skin mag that you are going to dig. So I guess there's only 23 issues available. So fire up that credit card. Your book's in the mail when you go to your PayPal account and take care of that stuff with Feverish Chicks 3, I guess, and Sleazy Viking Press. And also, why not check out Feverish Fiction and anything else Michael Fahn has going on. So, yeah. And I hope he has a Patreon or something like that, because he's trying to figure out a way to get to New York and do stuff in New York. So, buy up his stuff. Michael Fahn, everyone. Michael Fahn. He's available on Facebook, and he's available on Twitter. Look for Feverish Fiction. Look for Michael Fahn. Look for Sleazy Viking Press. And look for Feverish Chicks, and that's Chicks, C-H-I, three X's, I believe, because it's a titty mag with occult stuff in it. So check it out. All right. So, we're going to be talking about George A. Romero. George Andrew Romero, born February 4th, 1940, in Brooklyn, New York, died July 16th, 2017, in Canada, in Toronto to be specific. He is known as a filmmaker, a writer, an editor, and best known for creating one of the most unpaid-for movies of all time, The Night of the Living Dead, which then spawned Dawn of the Dead, which then spawned Day of the Dead, which then kind of just shouldn't have done. I think next was City of the Dead. Anyway, I'm kind of glad that other people took things on with Return of the Dead and Return of the Night. You know which one I'm talking about. And all kinds of other ones like that. But George A. Romero, he was the original. And the main reason that even became such a popular film was someone changed the title and didn't put a copyright on it. I talked about this in, I think, season 2 or 3. So check it out on iTunes. Hopefully it's there. I don't know. If it's way back in the archive, it's gone. Anyway, so let's see. He also did The Crazies. If you didn't see The Crazies, that was awesome. It's a town with, I think, a chemical or something like that, and makes everyone go nutso and want to kill everyone. Kind of like 28 Days Later, but George A. Romero did it in 73. And there was Martin, which he's known for. I didn't see Martin. You know what? Check it out on Wikipedia. I don't care. I'm not gonna date the Creepshow, which is an anthology, and then there's Monkey Shines, which is a spooky story about a paraplegic and a monkey buddy, to just pretty much give you the short one. Yeah, and then there was a Stephen King film, The Dark Half. And yeah, considered an icon of horror and all-around horror guy. So Romero was born in the Bronx, Cuban father and Lithuanian mother. Anyway, commercial artist was what his father did for a living, and Romero went to school at the Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh. And that's how he ended up in Pittsburgh. So after graduating in the 60s, Romero began shooting short films for industrial stuff and also for commercials. And there's some pretty cool Iron City commercials out there available that he directed. Oh, they're kind of sexist and gross in some ways, but anyway, they're kind of like charming in a 1960s kind of, early 1960s kind of way, like what America thought America was. Ow. And there's also like a Carvel commercial and a Clorox commercial and stuff like that. Just look for like old Romero commercials. They're awesome. They're really, really fun. But he did industrial stuff for commercial films and did a segment for Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, which Mr. Rogers underwent a tonsillectomy. Then in 1968, Romero and okay, let me start that again. With 9 friends, Romero formed Image 10 Productions in the late 1960s and produced Night of the Living Dead, directed by Romero and co-written by John A. Russo. The movie began a defining moment for modern horror cinema. Among the inspiration for Romero's filmmaking, as told by Robert K. Elder in an interview for The Film That Changed My Life, was the British film The Tale of Hoffman, 1951, from the Powell Pressburger team. It was the filmmaking, the fantasy, the fact that it was a fantasy, and it had a few frightening, sort of bizarre things in it, and it was everything. It was really a movie for me, and it gave me an early appreciation for the power of visual media, the fact that you could experiment with it. He was doing all his tricks in camera, and they were sort of obvious. That made me feel that glee, that maybe I could figure this medium out. It was transparent, but it worked. That's my amazing George A. Romero impersonation, thank you. 3 films that followed were less popular. There's Always Vanilla, 1971. Jack's Wife / The Season of the Witch, 1972. The Crazies, 1973, were not as well received as Night of the Living Dead or some of his later work. The Crazies, dealing with a bio spill that introduces an epidemic of homicidal madness, and the critically acclaimed arthouse success Martin, a film that deals with the vampire myth, were the 2 well-known films in the period. Like many at this time, they were shot in or around Pittsburgh, PA. Ow! Romero returned to the zombie genre with Dawn of the Dead in 1978, shot the film for $500,000, and the film earned $55 million across the world, and was named one of the top cult films by Entertainment Weekly in 2003. Romero made the 3rd entry of the Dead series with Day of the Dead in 1985, between these two films. Romero shot Knight Riders in 1981, another festival favorite about a group of modern-day jousters who reenact tournaments on motorcycles. And Creepshow in 1982, written by Stephen King, an anthology of tongue-in-cheek tales modded after 19 horror comics like those ghastly EC comics that you shouldn't have read as a child. But you did, and it ruined your brain. Anyway, the cult classic success of Creepshow led to this... The cult classic success of Creepshow led to the creation of Tales from the Dark Side, a horror anthology television series that aired from 1983 to 1988. It was totally on rerun all the time, and I totally watched it constantly. Romero served as executive producer and wrote 4 episodes. There were pretty good. So, in the 90s, he did Monkey Shines, about a killer monkey. And he did Two Evil Eyes, Edgar Allan Poe adaptation with, what's his name? Dario Argento. And The Dark Half, written by that Stephen King guy. And, something about some guy with a blank face. I can't remember that one. Romero, so Tom Savini, who totally played like Sex Machine in From Dusk Till Dawn. But yeah, he's known as more kind of as a director and makeup artist and all around cool guy. So him and Romero got together in 1990 and decided to remake Night of the Living Dead, totally in color. And Barbara was kick-ass and not like, oh my god, my shoes, where's Johnny, what? Huh? So, that was cool. Oh yeah, Romero was totally in Silence of the Lambs as one of Hannibal Lecter's jailers. But yes, so throughout the 2000s and 2010s, Romero did all kinds of projects that pretty much reflected off of the work that he'd done previously and pretty much were derivative of the work that he did previously. Some of it good, some of it bad, some of it worth mentioning, some of it not worth mentioning. You probably all remember it if you, you know, were Romero fans. You looked it up. You checked it out. You played the video game. You didn't play the video game because you don't play video games. You saw the movie. You saw the cameo. You got tired of my fake accent. And yeah, no. George A. Romero died July 16th, 2017 in his sleep. Following a brief but aggressive battle with lung cancer, according to a statement by his longtime producing partner, Peter Grunwald. Romero died while listening to the score of one of his favorite films, The Quiet Man, with his wife, Suzanne, and his daughter, Tina Romero, at his side. Romero ranked his top films of all time for the 2002 Sight and Sound's Greatest Films poll. They were The Brother Karamazov, Casablanca, Doctor Strangelove, High Noon, King Solomon's Mine, North by Northwest, The Quiet Man, Repulsion, Touch of Evil, The Tales of Hoffman. Romero listed the films in alphabetical order, with special placement given by Michael Powell's The Tales of Hoffman, which cites his "my favorite film of all time, the movie that made me want to make movies." Romero also cited Herc Harvey's Carnival of Souls 1962 as an influence on his work. Thank you. This has been People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos, tribute to George A. Romero. I've been your host, E.B. Spitzer. My little personal note is, I've talked about this before, my first introduction to George A. Romero was when I was 10 years old. I was hanging out, I believe, with my friend Greg, who lived down the street. we were watching TV flipping channels. Generally, we watched horror movies like Hellraiser or Prince of Darkness. And then we saw Night of the Living Dead and we were fucking terrified. It scared the shit out of us. I think we'd seen like a little bit of the remake, but we saw the original and it was terrifying. And if you see it with a group of people, you can make fun of it. If you watch it alone, watch it in the dark, it's scary. If you haven't seen it, I envy you so much because you get to watch it and it's free to watch because someone forgot to put a copyright symbol on something and Night of the Flesh Eaters became Night of the Living Dead and no one got paid. But hey, it became a gift to the world and became the beginning of something that started out slow and then kept going and going and going and going and going and going and going. And it I don't know, it didn't seem to really like, I don't know, public, like a mainstream acceptance of like zombies and stuff like that until like probably about like 2003, 2004, like whenever, around the time like 28 Days Later, Dawn of the Dead, Shaun of the Dead, all that came out and it seemed like zombies were everywhere. There was zombies in comic books, which then led to zombies on TV. This is all George A. Romero. Everything from, I don't know, Resident Evil to, geez, there's like zombies and kids stuff now. I mean, it's zombies everywhere. And it's cool, but also it's too much. But there's good stuff out there, but there's also awful stuff out there. And, you know, just use your judgment. Use your use some critical thinking. And you'll find something that's along the lines of George A. Romero zombies, even though George A. Romero talked about how his zombies didn't need tennis shoes. His zombies needed a library card, or I can't remember the quote, but he was talking about how his zombies are slowly learning. And anyway, I thought that was kind of dumb. I don't know. I didn't see the last movie that he did. I saw The Diary of the Dead, which is like the teenagers in the RV. Is that the right one? If not, I'm sorry. I'm not an expert on George A. Romero. But anyway, thank you for listening to People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos, tribute to George A. Romero. This has been brought to you by FoundItemClothing.com, BunnySlippers.com. Also, why not pre-order Feverish Chicks number 3 from Michael Fawn or Sleazy Viking Press? And why not check out what else he has to offer and what else there is offered? let me check that. Go to sleazyvikingpress.bigcartel.com. And, yeah, pre-order Feverish Chicks. I believe there's still some copies of 1 and 2 out there. And why not check out what else they have to offer, like Feverish Fiction and all the other kind of stuff. Yeah. All right. Ow! Thank you for listening to People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos. I'm not sure if I'm even going to edit this, so you're going to hear all that kind of crap. All right. Peace in the Middle East. War in the Central Core. Thank you for being squiggly. No mailbag this week, because no mailbag ever. And that's it. That's really it.